Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. If you haven't listened and subscribed, please check out the newest shows from Walnut Grovecast, Bonnet Heads, and the Little House Book Club. They are available from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or just visit walnutgrovecast.com for more information. As always, these podcasts are free of charge as well as commercial free thanks to the following supporters: Chelsea Wofford, Andre Jarkison, Brian Mellenbacher, Leah Chiappino, Rhonda Ludwig, Kristen Hirsch, Margaret Lovisca, Elizabeth Villamagna, Laura Solarin, Julia Schroeder, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV Podcast, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind Podcast, Tanya Weber, Alicia Murphy, Jennifer Jones, Marissa Baker, Kelly Milkey from the Dr. Quincast podcast, JJ Hurley, Robin Lee, Thoy Rodriguez, Matilda Smith Thompson, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, A Wonder Years podcast, Shannon Quinton, Rebecca Harris, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois Nishiyama, Peyton England, Laura Furman, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Megan Parker, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv podcast, Melissa Halfpint Gilbert, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, the No Agenda podcast, Sherry Benner, Lydia Kikuchi, Whitney Griggs, Julia Jin, Don Roberts, Susan King, Max Duration, Aaron Wortman, Liz Serha, Brian S., Bobby Young, Candy Gleason, Angie Zadava, Megan Eichner, Katie Bollinger, Jeannie Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Dean Almanzo Butler, Julia Monin, Whitney Cole, Rebecca Frederick, Anne Quinn, Jill Stellman, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Stacy Keller, Matt Mercier, Cheyenne Hampton, Stephanie Carnes, Alicia Olin, Jeannie Comer, Elvira Dubas, Stacy Carrigan. Thank you all for your support. You make this podcast possible, and in my eyes, this is truly your podcast. So if you have any ideas or suggestions, please feel free to reach out to me. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. This is Mark, and you're listening to Walnut Grovecast. I have on today Kelly Milkey. How are you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, man. Man, what are we doing?
Yeah,
where did that
dude,
come from?
Totally righteous.
What's up, dude? You're just one of the guys. Jeez. Do over. No. So today we travel back in time, 46 years.
Yeah.
It's just insane, right? 46 years back. Do you want to talk about the episode we're touching on today?
Absolutely. We are talking about Money Crop, which is season 1, episode 21. It originally aired February 19th, 1975.
And we get introduced to characters that will become major parts of future episodes.
Right, right. Oh, and as a side note, a quick little bit of trivia before I forget. The director of this episode is Leo Penn, who is Sean Penn's father.
I noticed that. That was exciting. Yeah. I was looking for Sean in the back, but no.
I know. I believe he also directed the voice of Tinker Jones, and he, and I believe that Sean appears in that episode in an uncredited role, just as like one of the school kids.
Yeah, it's like, all right, you got to go outside and get some sun, boy.
Yeah, and I think his mother actually was in that episode as well. But I don't think that Sean appears in this episode. It's not really like a child-centric one.
Could have been, though. You know, they could have easily introduced a kid, you know, to a particular dramatic point.
That's true. I mean, I guess there were a lot of kids at the beginning, though. We'll kind of get into it. But at the in the opening scene, there are all those kids at their party thing. But I don't think he's there.
Well, what we have is a very interesting beginning. The music is kind of fun, I thought. I wrote that in my notes.
I was like, weird Little House theme song at the beginning.
Yeah, you said it's a playful opening intro scene even. But
yeah.
Ooh, whoops, I just changed the volume to 200%. That would not have been good. All right. So
blast it out.
Yeah, just scrolling up. Right, but
it's
here we
party
go.
Music.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this could be like the beginning of the an episode of like The Love Boat or anything.
Yeah.
It's so period specific when it comes to that kind of mid-70s thing. But
right.
I don't know.
You know, one thing I really enjoy with Little House that I've started to appreciate a little bit more, that I've like kind of paid more attention to the music that they're playing. And one thing I think that this show does really well compared to like, you know, like a lot of shows have very like specific tracks they're always playing for like specific types of scenes.
Yeah.
And Little House does that also to some extent, but they also have like really unique stuff that they put into episodes. Like this particular one, I'm not sure I can place that in like another episode. There's that episode when they go to by they I mean Almanzo or Al or whatever you want to call him. And
Saldama, yeah.
Yeah, right. When he and John Carter go to San Francisco and they stay at that like Japanese hotel thing.
That's so
and
bizarre.
They play like this like Japanese version of the Little House theme song. And there's like, you know, they just like do like fun little unique pieces of music. And then we have like, you know, the Almanzo and Laura music. And then we have like, you know, specific characters have like their own thing and they kind of mix it up, which I think is really cool. Cause other shows that I watch that have like soundtracks kind of, they're very, I would say set in their ways. Like it's sort of like the same few selections that they set kind of like recycle through. And I think this show kind of like switches it up and they get really creative. David Rose, like really, I think, or like Werewolf of Walnut Grove, they have like that whole specific like theme essentially, like theme song for that episode that we never really hear again. It's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, it's anyway. Kind of, that reminded me of like kind of a Japanese like traditional music. Like I think it's called shamisen. I'm not 100% sure. But it has that like kind of sitar kind of sound without it being a sitar. And like a Ravi Shankar type thing.
Right.
But I really like that too. I like when they can set the mood with the music. It really just shows that they really spent a decent amount of time planning this and scheduling it. And even though they don't really do the best job of certain episodes landing on holidays, I don't think they really had somebody scheduling with a calendar. You know, very often, you know, the Halloween episodes make no sense or Valentine's Day or something like that.
Unless they did it on purpose just to be like contrarians, you know?
Yeah, could be. It's like, hey, let's try this. It's a little different. But we have a party going on at the Ingalls, at Ingalls Manor.
Total party. It's crazy.
Standing room only. It's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's really surprising to me that they have all these people over to their house. There's like one other time I can specifically think of where that happens in The Angry Heart when they seem to be having this similar sort of gathering. Looks like maybe it's like a bit of a potluck.
The farm looks pretty big. I mean, with all these people, you start looking at it like, oh, well, I guess you can kind of house a decent sized party.
Well, and I mean, I guess it's, you know, cause their house is tiny, obviously,
yeah.
But the outhouse, it's not like people go into the house to like go to use the restroom or whatever.
It would have been funny to have a line at the outhouse.
Yeah, right.
And then have Carrie come out, you know.
Yeah, that would have been funny.
So they're getting more wood. They're cooking. They have a lot of food kind of cooking. They have a Dutch oven set up on a tripod. I mentioned before. I have the same setup. I have the exact same cast iron tripod, and my my Dutch oven is a lot larger, and I make like stews, and when we go camping with like the scouts, we make a thing called dump cake. I don't know if you've ever heard of dump cake.
I have.
Okay, good. So you just dump stuff into it, you cover it, you come back, and but yeah, I mean, you can make like so many things in Dutch ovens and this type of things. I wish more people would do it. But you also have to be kind of careful, because if you set up your tripod wrong, it can kind of tilt. And theirs doesn't look like it's really set up correctly, fully. Like, I wouldn't be totally comfortable putting that Dutch oven on and off it. Doesn't look right to me.
Well, at least they're just, like, fake cooking.
No, there's fire, though. You know, it is it is a fire going. I bet you they're cooking something.
Yeah.
But, so they need more wood. So they have this little tiny stack of the driest wood in Hero Township.
It's going to go up in flames.
Exactly. And yeah, and if you look in the background, it's like, hopefully there's not a spark that goes into the prairie, because it's going to go up.
Yeah.
I think they were having a drought this this day in Minnesota. So yeah, they're going to get more wood, and we get introduced to, what is their last name? You know, I don't have that in front of me.
Coulter?
Yeah, the Coulters, which are very sweet, I think.
Here, come on, give it to me. It's a man's work. It's what a husband's for.
Honestly, you people, I'm really quite capable.
I want to mention she's also like 90% ready to give birth.
Totally. She's
super pregnant.
Yeah.
How do you think I manage when you're not around?
Badly. Right, girls?
It's so funny. I don't get it. that's not nice.
Yeah. Well,
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Their banter, I think, is a lot like the other couple that we discussed previously in To Run and Hide. What were their names? Beth and Stanley.
I put them way out of my mind when.
Yeah. But they're. Relationship kind of reminds me of that, and it sort of is a similar situation. So this was, you know, season one, so it's like, you know, three seasons ahead of that other one, but it's
but
like
super likable.
They're really likable. They kind of banter with each other. They're like a fun, loving couple. Of course, she's like heavily pregnant, you know, which we see with Beth and Stanley. So it sort of seems to be like a they're like go-to like one-time appearance couple that the Ingalls are going to be like best friends with.
Yeah,
and then we'll never see them again.
For 15 minutes. I just noticed the next clip I'm going to play is a few, it's like maybe 10 seconds later. And I noticed they fixed the tripod in this section.
Oh, somebody pointed it out. Yeah.
Still not perfect. But I also don't, I don't know if there's a fire going on. But yeah. So it would just be very dangerous for it to fall and burn somebody. Maybe it happened. But they do have a lot of breads and all this stuff, and nothing's covered. It's kind of funny in that sense.
Yeah, I guess maybe they're not worried about, like,
flies
or something.
It's too dry for flies. So,
well, they're not that far from the barn. There'd be manure and stuff. I would think there'd be a fly problem.
The outhouse. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or whatever they're cooking in that Dutch oven.
Right.
So here we, Ma gives a taste to somebody, because of course Ma has the palate of a gourmet chef, and this is her input.
That's done.
We're almost ready, Charles.
It's like, that's done.
That is her inflection is really weird.
It is. It's like, she even tastes, she really thinks about it, and it's like,
yeah,
a little bit of lemon zest. So I can almost see it. All right. So you pointed out this seems like an Amway type of multi-level marketing scheme.
Right. Right. Because when she's all like, that's done. And she's like, Charles, we're ready to eat. And then Paul's like, all right, everybody gather around the table. And he's just like, everyone's seated at this like long table. And he's just like standing at the end of it, like, I'm going to pitch an MLM to you now, and you're going to like it.
It's kind of like everyone's at the ski lodge, and it's like, everybody's having a great time, right?
Yeah.
How would you like to do this with your family all the time?
I make $14,000 a week working from home. Ask me how.
You see that Toyota Corolla outside? I own it outright. Yeah.
Yeah. Cash on the barrel only.
See that DeLorean parked outside? I wonder if Michael Landon ever owned a DeLorean. That would make sense to me. I could see it almost.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he did. Yeah. If I learned that he did.
I need to go down that rabbit hole. I need to know what kind of car Michael Landon drove. Hopefully it wasn't just like Rolls Royces and stuff.
Yeah. Hopefully something cool.
Yeah. But here we go. We have the pitch, basically. This is where they start. Yeah. This is the pitch, and I even think that there's a few of these people that are in on the scam. So mm-hmm. I'll point them out, like kind of the ringers. Kind of like with we had that episode about the preacher and the evangelists and stuff. I forget what it was.
Oh, the faith healer?
Yeah, the faith healer. Yeah. It's kind of like you have to have plants in there. You know, kind of like, yeah, I'll sign up right now.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Gentlemen, why don't you find yourself a seat here?
Even Charles laughing at jokes that aren't funny. Oh, that's great. Yeah. It's a good one. Finish that later.
Yeah.
here, everybody got a beer?
I think you all know Joe Kohler.
Even the setup is really like that. It's like on the table, we have something covered. Nobody can look at it. You can't peek. You have no idea what's underneath.
Yeah, you have to wait for it to like be revealed. And it's crazy.
And it's just a bunch of Bitcoin or something.
Hi.
I think most of you do anyway. Joe's the reason we're here.
Yeah, and he is a good reason, too. He has the...
Yeah, well... Lars already knows about this, and he's in favor of it, but I'm afraid he's going to get a little bit ahead of us.
All right. I shut up.
All right.
Well, it's like Lars clearly is the most successful in the town, so if they have him on board. Holy cow.
Yeah. Well, he was the town leader, the town father. So.
And where is Nels? You know, I mean, just I know they don't farm, but shouldn't he be here just to kind of get some free grub?
Well, I would think, yeah, right. So for two reasons, like, why aren't they invited to the party? And mm-hmm. I mean, Nels is a businessman, so he doesn't farm, but you think that, like, you know, you'd be a little bit. And I know that, like, he does dabble a little bit in buying farm implements and like seed on occasion and stuff. So you would think just from like a business perspective, he might be interested or have something valuable to add to it.
It's almost as though if they had him there, it would have been an interesting person to turn to as a person who's not going to invest, but his opinion on it.
Right. Or I could see the farmers being like, no, you're a businessman. What do you think of this?
Right. And it's like, well, I don't know a lot about farming. Yeah. But once each one of you die, I'm going to buy your farm on pennies on the mile.
Yeah.
The reason we're here is we're farmers. Let's be honest with each other, we're in trouble.
Lars is not a farmer, by the way.
We've been losing money with every crop. The reason we're losing money is because wheat's our money crop, and there's no market for wheat. That brings us to Joseph Kohler. He's an agronomist. I didn't know what that was either until he explained it to me. It's a man who goes to school and learns about farming, about planning, about modern methods.
Holy boring. It's like I'm tapping out already. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Let's
go to school now. So what I'm thinking here is Charles says we're losing money on every crop. Mm-hmm. This is like the first season. They've been in Walnut Grove for not even a year, right? So he's had maybe, what, a crop so far in Walnut Grove? Granted, he couldn't be very aware of the situation and how it's going, but he's talking like he's someone who's been like leading the farming community for years.
Yeah.
And really, it's like he's had maybe one crop there. So like if I were the people, I'd be that person in the crowd who's like the skeptic, like, who are you to tell me what I should be doing when you've been here for like a year?
Right. I didn't really think about the time period, but yeah, he just moved in. Like he's the new guy and he's ready to say like, we're going to bring Google Fiber. like let us get like DSL. All right. So
yeah,
it's one of those kind of weird things. Very and I just finished reading the and reviewing the first book in the series. It's interesting because there's a few instances where Pa is very old fashioned. And there are points where he uses modern technology for the time and he's completely progressive. You know, he's ready. Yeah. He has no problem using modern methods to make more money. And I just thought it was interesting. It really is in line with the character that's developed here on the show.
Well, and I think that just it makes sense that he would be a person like that. I mean, given how, like, they moved around so much, and he was kind of always going after, you know, the next thing, like...
And he wasn't, in the book, he wasn't just a farmer. I mean, that's the thing, is he was also, he traded skins and, you know, furs.
Well, yeah. Well, and, like, we see on the show that he always says he's just a farmer, like, I'm just a dumb farmer, but, like, he is always doing other stuff. I mean, like, he makes furniture, and he fixes wagon wheels, and, like, he works at the mill, and, like, I mean, like, I feel like we see him doing this other stuff more than we actually, like, see him farming.
Even though he's
always talking about farming.
He even goes to war against the white man with the Sioux.
Yeah.
he's a man of many talents.
That man is Charles Ingalls.
We will write songs of him. Yeah. We will call you Big Curly Poofy Hair. All right, so this gets to the gist of it. I mean, spoiler alert, it's corn. Corn is the new money crop. And did you happen to look at all the progression of corn through the ages? I don't know if you went down that rabbit hole.
I dabbled in it a little bit. And mostly what led me to dabble into it, which just as like a side note, I don't really remember this episode coming up in the rotation a lot, like when I was like growing up watching the show. So I feel like just recently, like in the last, like, you know, couple of years, I really like it came up on TV and I'm like, wow, I really don't like remember this episode. And I guess maybe I don't watch like, you know, season one as much as I do like the later seasons maybe, but I'm like, I really don't like remember this episode. Anyway, so I'm watching it with my husband and they're like, oh, corn is like this new revolutionary thing. And we're kind of like, what? And then I think, is it like Kennedy who's all like, how are we going to get corn to grow here? And we're like, what?
Because, right, like, right.
I mean, it's just so weird because, okay, so like from our background in the state, I mean, it's like corn is everywhere. And it's crazy because like on this show, they always talk about like wheat this, farming wheat, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't remember like seeing wheat much. I mean, like I know like it is a crop that, you know, can be grown there and I'm sure some people do. But corn was everywhere. Like when you're diving through like, you know, rural areas, like you see cornfields, like there are a ton of cornfields.
Corn is also still everywhere.
Which isn't really a thing yet. Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, okay, corn. And if you like, so I was like kind of looking it up because I was like, was there a time when they were all growing wheat and then they like were like, oh, well now corn is going to be our big thing. And then it stayed the big thing in the state or something. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, if you look at maps for like production now, you look at like the wheat production one, and most of it, like when it has like the little like density map thing, it's like very little of it is in Minnesota. A lot of it is in like the surrounding states. More like in the plains states, you know, like Kansas, also, for example.
Corn's also grown for its ethanol, which was a really big deal in, I'd say, the 70s.
Right.
Go on.
But, like, looking at the same type of, like, you know, density production map for corn, it is, like, a ton of it there. Like, that's, like, the, like, it's, like, corn central, you know, like, there's so much there. And I'm, like, well, was there, like, a time when this switched? And are they trying to, like, speak to that in this episode?
I think so. This was the gas shortage. You know, they were pushing ethanol at this point.
But it's, like, I couldn't really piece together. I mean, apparently, so, like, corn, you know, has been around for a long time, obviously, and, you know, since colonial times. Well, I mean, obviously, the, you know, Native Americans were growing it before that, but then, like, in colonial times, then, you know, kind of starts spreading. And then as settlements spread, then, like, they're bringing corn with them. But then the only, like, date, like, landmark date, if you even want to call it a landmark date as far as corn, like, on more of the Western frontier, was that it really, like, exploded, I guess I could say, when after Lewis and Clark, because they like confirmed, like, yes, corn does grow here. Like, scientifically, this is a good spot for growing corn. So then people were like, sweet, let's grow corn. And then, like, you know, that's when they're really like, yeah, this is, we have like, you know, science to back us up. Corn will grow here. And then it expanded. But we're talking like 1804. And this is what, like the 1870s. How would they not have known, like, oh, corn is like a totally viable crop that we can be growing here?
It's just, I don't think that it was making very much money. There was really no reason to be growing so much corn until the ethanol thing from the 1970s, because by this point, I mean, even today when you put gas in your car, it's usually, I think, 10% ethanol, you know.
Right.
ethanol became so, I mean, and that's another reason why the government subsidized corn farmers. Corn, what am I saying? Corn farmers. and it's just an interesting thing when it comes to that. And I really do think that this might have been a little bit of a part of a helping a media push. Maybe the Corn Foundation approached Michael Lennon like, hey, we'll sponsor something.
Yeah.
Because you remember these kind of commercials, right?
Yeah.
I mean, or corn syrup, you know, like high fructose corn syrup, which I just mentioned on another podcast the other day. They're a very, very powerful and very, very wealthy organization, the Corn People. They have a name. I don't know what it is. But they really do push. You know, like high fructose corn syrup. There was a push of it maybe 10 years ago with all of these commercials, kind of like, you know, oh, you're letting your son drink Kool-Aid or whatever it is. And it's like, that has high fructose corn syrup. It's like, what's wrong with high fructose corn syrup if it's used in moderation? It's like, whatever. Cocaine could be used in moderation too, I guess.
Yeah. everything in moderation.
Everything in moderation.
Avoid all extremes. Everything in moderation.
Stupid Albert. All right. So.
That actually, now that you say that, though, that actually makes a lot of sense, because I think I was approaching it from trying to look at, like, historically, are they speaking of some sort of, you know, event or change?
Yes, I think it's both.
But I think that it really makes a lot of sense. And, like, I couldn't find all this concrete. Like, there's probably somebody listening that's, like, an agriculture expert, and they're like, oh, my gosh, this girl is, like, an ignoramus. It's like, I'm not a farmer, and I don't know about it. It's just what I, like, you know, was looking up about it. And
we have a very opinionated bunch of listeners, don't we?
Yeah, we might hear about it, and I look forward to that.
Dearest Mark.
Stop spreading false.
In all caps, you know.
Yeah. But what you're saying, I'm like actually thinking like, yeah, so if they're like, if you're thinking about, if they're speaking to stuff that's going on in like the 1970s when this is airing, and this is sort of an excuse to kind of work that in, that actually makes a lot of sense. Maybe that's.
I could see it. I mean, we see it on television now, right?
Right. Yeah.
So why not? Michael Lennon. I would just imagine that there would be the kind of push a little bit. And also, ethanol was supposedly a big deal as a good thing because, you know, you're giving farmers money to grow things. I mean, what's so bad about that? But the evolution of corn itself is really different because if you go back like 500 years or even 100 years to when they were growing corn, the corn was a lot smaller. And they just kind of did this kind of cross breeding, and you get these hybrid corns, and the corn now is just, you know, it's crazy. From what I understand, corn would grow about 3 feet normally, and now you've seen corn, it's like 6 feet, seven feet high.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like 6 feet. Like, you get lost in a cornfield because you can't see.
Yeah, and it was just one of those kind of things that with evolution, you know, watermelons are seedless now, and, you know, it's magic, right? But But anyway, so back to the scam, because that's really what this is all about. This is about money. Yes. This is about crops.
Any amount.
Oh, he's basically saying, all right, how much corn can we get? Why are you going to help us? And this is where my ears would be like, what? This is a total scam.
How much a bushel is cost?
Well, why would he give to us a cost?
Because I wrote him and told him about the corn I grew here and told him you could grow the same. He wrote back and said he'd help you get started if you'd give him the first chance to buy your crop at a fair price.
Now, he is his father-in-law, right?
Right, yeah. And going back to that Charles has only been there for like a year. So he's had like one crop presumably there. But then this guy said he grew corn there already. So he's had one crop there at least. So he's probably been there like the same length of time as Charles.
Probably.
Why is Charles like, I don't know. I guess Charles is just everybody's like instant best friend and leader or something. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense why Charles is the one who's like.
Have you ever gone to like Restaurant Depot? It's like kind of like Costco for restaurants.
Oh, right. We have, I forget what the one that we have here is called, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
All right, so only businesses can shop there and everything. You can go there if you need 150 pounds of chicken wings, that's the place you go to.
Right.
So I know that I have one of these accounts because we'll buy some things there. We haven't been there in a very long time, but normally, like, I have friends who are like, well, why don't we go halfsies on something? And I just, that's what this feels like. Because I don't need 800 pounds of muscles. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't, I get tired of muscles. All right. So basically that's, you know, what this feels like. It's kind of like we're, and that's what Charles is trying to get in on. He's trying to, like, buy into this deal, but a lot of people have to be in on the deal. And everybody's going to owe him a favor if this goes, you know, through. That's another thing. Charles is all about doing good and expecting people to pay him back in favors.
Well, how else is he going to, you know, keep things cash on the barrel and not have to go into debt to pay for services?
And is it possible he might feel as though he owes them a debt? I mean, we do remember when the entire town got together. I don't think any of these, maybe a couple of these men to help carry the seed or the grain or whatever it was.
Oh, true. Yeah. Because they all helped him out. Yeah.
But here's the rest of the scam. This is where it gets started.
Well, what are you going to make out of the deal?
Some friends, I hope. I'd like to stay here for a while. I'll go to Minneapolis and buy the seed for you. I can get there and get back by the time you get your fields ready for planting. That's it.
It just seems like a big scam. And this is where Charles basically says, like, well, I'm in. You know?
Yeah.
You'd be a bunch
sounds
of fools.
Good to me.
It's like, if you want lunch, you better be in. Because we're not eating until everybody at this table agrees.
So, here. Yeah.
Right, what do you say?
Yeah, very faulty.
I think it's a chance of a lifetime, and I'm going to take it. Let's have a show of hands. Everybody in favor.
Well, what do we got to lose?
By the way, we have a loop in the background of the kids playing, and there's maybe four kids there. And this is like the schoolyard. Like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
All right, agreed then. Now let's find out if this corn tastes as good as it looks. Carolyn, we're ready.
Carolyn, we're ready. Now, that's the code word. It's
now,
the I got
thing.
Everybody.
Yeah, it just seems like scammy, like culty, like, I don't know, the way that he presents it, it's mm-hmm. just, it reminds me a lot of, I don't know, you know, like on Facebook when like you always have those people you haven't, I don't say like you always, like it specifically happens to you, but it happens a lot where it's like, you haven't talked to this person since like high school, and then they're like, hey, they like add you on Facebook and they're like, hey, I just started this excellent business opportunity and I like, you know, want you to.
Yeah, no,
I'm
it's
looking
like,
for some
hey, Kelly,
dedicated blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, no.
Hey, Kelly, I don't think I've spoken to you since English in 10th grade. I just lost 85 pounds. You know, and it's like, I'm doing personal training now through Skype for only, you know, it's like I'm doing really, really well. And it's like,
are you saying I'm not doing well?
Exactly.
What's your problem?
Like, I'm getting really into these Bitcoins. That's where you get blocked.
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
basically.
So everybody eats. Everybody's like,
boys, give us a hand here, will you?
And you can still hear the kids yelling and screaming, and there are literally five kids there.
And I'll point out that, because I have this up in front of me, but I'm like a little, it's paused a little bit ahead of where we are right now. So I happen to pause on Caroline's face and she's bringing this stuff over and she has this like absolute glee on mm-hmm. her face. And I'm like, she is so excited about this corn and as if she's never had corn before. And I just don't believe that.
Not
I
this mean, kind of corn. Come on, Kelly. Well, listen, corn is a really big part to the Ingalls lifestyle. For instance, popcorn. There's a different level of it. This is going to be very big and fluffy with less of the stuff that gets stuck in your throat.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's why she's excited. She's thinking about later on in the evening when they're eating their popcorn in bed.
Exactly. We get a bizarre pregnancy discussion, which I just thought was, I don't know, you think it's worth playing between Mary and Laura?
If you want to play it, like, I didn't make a note of it in my clip yeah, notes because I thought it was just kind of a weird scene, but it's
I'll
really
play it. I think it's weird
probably the
enough.
Only like kid scene that we have, really, like a kid focused type scene.
Yeah, and it's maybe this is, you know, girls talking about it, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, here it is.
What are you talking about? Well, if she just had a giant stomach forever and ever. That's silly. She'll have the baby and her stomach will go away. And Mrs. Ledbetter has a big stomach and it doesn't go away. But Mrs. Ledbetter isn't going to have a baby. She just eats too much.
Fat shaming.
Yeah, right?
How can you tell the difference? I mean, how do you know when it's a baby or just too much supper?
Dr. Baker can tell. And Ma says the baby kicks inside.
She's never told that to you, Laura. She tells me everything.
Yeah, right.
You've never heard these stories? I mean, how many stories could there be? Jeez.
Yuck.
Yuck.
I know I don't want to have a baby.
Why not?
Well, it hurts enough when Molly also kicks me from the outside. It must hurt twice as bad when you get kicked from the inside.
No, it doesn't.
Why not?
Because the baby doesn't have shoes on.
Boy, Mary, for somebody who's only 18 months older, you sure are wise.
Well, it's like, yeah, you're really wise, but you're also saying something really stupid.
Exactly. The whole thing is so bizarre. So the next clip we're talking to the Coulsons.
Coulders,
I'm sorry. I'm watching a show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the guy's name is Coulson.
Gotcha.
watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like bananas. It's a crazy TV show. So basically he's talking about his trip. Do you want to talk about that? Because I broke down the speed and all that kind of stuff, and it's kind of a big job that he's going to have in front of him.
Right, so he's just kind of explaining to her, you know, he's going to Minneapolis. He says he's going to be gone for, what is it, 2 weeks or something?
Yeah,
like it's going to be like a big thing, right? So like he's going to come back in a couple of weeks. He's going to have all the stuff for everybody. She's going to be home alone. Of course, she's, you know, like pregnant, and she's worried about him being
well,
gone for so long.
She has a best friend, right? I mean, Caroline's her best friend.
Well, that's true. Yeah, she's going to step in and take care of that. So and then we get a little background too that the father-in-law that he's going to get the seed
should
from.
Should I play the clip? Not... Actually, I'll play it.
Yeah, I guess I'm sort of going line by line.
No. I asked you to. I'm like, well, you know, I could just play the clip. You know.
Yeah.
Supposed to get the team, the wagon, and the seed, and start back. I've allowed 7 days for the return trip, and that means 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and then I'll be home.
He's putting on a money belt, by the way. You know, one of those old school, it looks like a weight belt, but it's a lot smaller.
Yeah.
Like a banker's belt. And banker is a spoiler alert for a character that we get to see in the near future.
Yeah.
Before he strikes gold.
Yeah. His past, his poor past.
Yeah. That'd be awesome if there actually was a poor past.
Be all right that long?
I think so.
That's his belt, not me. Like...
If it's any longer, I'll worry.
You know, I got an email once because of this sound. Wait, I just have to say, like, I think, let me see if I can duplicate it. Wait, I'm gonna, it's something like that. Anyway, it's my headphones, and they're curlied like that, I guess. And somebody's like, I could hear you farting. And I'm like, what? I'm like, if I did, I guess I would just kind of man up to it. Man up. Is that mansplaining? I don't know what that is. But I would own up to it.
Whatever. Everybody farts sometimes.
Well, yeah, just, jeez. Anyway, so I just came out of nowhere. I just remember that I was talking to your husband actually on Twitter. We were back and forth. I was sharing some funny, well, what I considered to be funny. I don't know if he found him funny. And I just remembered that. I'm like, that's one of those things that, yeah, stupid. Yeah. And I even, when I read it, I'm like, I'm buying different headphones. But I didn't. I still have the same Sony headphones.
It's funny that someone even took the time to, like, send that email. So weird.
Yeah, and that was all it was. I think it was Tina Reese or whatever her name is.
Oh.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't really. I would not put it past her. If you're out there, Tina, yep. Well, talking about you. So anyway, here we go.
And a lot of other people. I promised everybody I'd be back in 2 weeks, and I'd better be. It'll be all heck to pay.
I don't see why.
If you were gambling everything you have on my say-so, you would. And they are. They'll have the fields ready before 2 weeks, and they'll be looking down that road.
I like this guy.
Yeah, I like him, too.
I don't know. Something about him. I like him. I would have liked to see him come back. There are a number of characters who kind of fall into that category.
I mean, I do like this couple, and I kind of would like to see them again in the future, but we unfortunately don't get to. And before I forget to mention it, because I thought this was an interesting little tidbit, according to the random facts for the actress on IMDb that plays Trudy Coulter, mm-hmm. she used to be a Playboy bunny.
Oh, really? What year?
Really? I don't know what year. I didn't go too far into like trying to figure out when she was, but I'm sure you could probably, you know, Google it or something.
Well, I'm going to go through my entire collection right here. No.
But I thought it was just kind of interesting because that's like a pretty like varied career, right?
But a Playboy bunny, a Playboy bunny is somebody who, is that somebody who works at the Playboy, in the Playboy bars when they existed? Or is that somebody who actually, that's not a playmate. Like, that's not somebody who's the centerfold.
I actually don't. No.
Because okay. Playboy used to have restaurants, right? I think that they used to have restaurants where you would go and, I'm sorry, social clubs. And you would go there, gentlemen's clubs, sorry, even more so. Yeah. Gentlemen's social clubs, how about that?
Yeah.
And the women would be dressed as bunnies, because that's not humiliating. And it's just, wow, that I'm curious about that. That's interesting.
Because all men are attracted to rabbits.
What a weird thing. I mean, I think that the idea of the Playboy bunny is a very cute symbol for all of that. But taking it to that level, it just it reminds me of Cindy Song, who was a bunny, and she disappeared in 2001. And actually, if you look at Unsolved Mysteries Rewind, and we did an episode about her, and we just released that episode, and I think it's episode 39. And, she went on a Halloween night. She was dressed up as a bunny and she went missing.
So I just Googled just to clarify what the Playboy bunny actually refers to. And you are right that it is a waitress at a Playboy club.
Okay.
But
that's a thing too. Yeah. I think that they had very high, levels, like not anybody could just be a Playboy bunny.
Right. Yeah. And I think they have very like specific, you know, standards and stuff. But anyway, it's kind of interesting that she went from that to, you know, being on Little House on the Prairie and some other stuff. You know, she's acted in other things too, but.
Probably where Charles met her. Or, you know, Michael.
Yeah, right. I want you on my show.
Can you act? No, I can't act. Sure you can. Put this pillow under you. Yeah, right. I can see it happening. So I just wanted to say Minneapolis is 146 miles from Walnut Grove. And if he travels 3 miles per hour, which is about the schooner speed, I learned this from the books, he would have to travel for 12 hours a day for 4 days, which kind of makes sense if he does sun up to sundown.
Right.
So it kind of makes sense. You know, that's a big, I'm going to guess that's a lot of boredom. I mean, it's not like you can do anything else.
So what I'm wondering, I know because he's by himself, so he doesn't have a companion, nobody podcasts. To talk to. Yeah, right.
Would have been a good time to listen to podcasts.
Yeah. Pa's not there playing his fiddle. I mean, like, how's he going to pass the time?
Now, granted, you have he's going by himself. If they're so kind of nervous, because they seem nervous almost right away about this guy, somebody should have went. I know they have to prepare their crops and, you know, the land. But I don't know. I just felt there were a couple things I didn't like.
Here's something they could have done where they could have been like, hey, how about Nels goes with you?
Well, yeah,
you know, Harriet can run the store and then Nels is a business guy. He can like, you know, see if the wheeling and dealing is like, you know, up and up.
Nels could spend 3 days in Minneapolis. He's got a lot of interests. that guy.
And he probably wants a break from his family, so he would probably like the opportunity to go on this little trip.
2 weeks away would be nice.
Something I'm just thinking about now, though, so it takes him, you know, 4 days at least to get up there if he's doing sunup to sundown. We see him when he leaves, you know, he's riding on a horse to go up there, but then he, like, rents the team in Minneapolis, as we learn, and he's driving the wagon back when he rents the team in the rig. So if he's renting a rig to come back anyway, why doesn't he just travel to the closest town with a railroad and just take the train up there? It seems like it would be a lot less taxing, right? And then instead of just riding up there.
A train isn't going to come all the time. So the schedules aren't every day or even every week. I mean, it would, if we're looking to get this done in the next 2 weeks, he might not be able to coordinate a train.
I mean, he could have like planned it out a little bit in advance. Just
a bunch
like,
of dumb farmers. I mean,
2 weeks from now, you're planting a whole new crop.
Come on, Kelly. They're a bunch of dumb farmers. I mean,
yeah,
they know how to get on a horse. You could go by.
But it's a little weird too that, I mean, it's okay. So like they're have to get their fields ready. Like I get that. And it's obviously part of farming, but they act like there's like, oh, there's this huge rush. We have to get this done like right now. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, presumably if you're coming up, well, here's another thing. Like are wheat and corn planted at like totally different times that they wouldn't already have sort of been like gearing up to prepare their fields, that it's like this big rush to get all the plowing done?
You know, I'm not sure. I was wondering about that, and I have to wonder if you have to plant corn differently.
Is yeah, that
different
could be
depth or yeah. something?
Yeah, because I mean, it's like I would have thought that they kind of already would have been like, you know, gearing up and kind of doing like the preparatory, you know, plowing or whatever, but I don't know. Once again, I'm not a farmer, so any listener who is a farming expert.
If you're a farmer. But here's some of the music that they play as they're plowing. And they're all saying goodbye to him. Good luck, buddy, Kennedy. Yeah. Kennedy is just Mr. Happy all of a sudden.
It's like this really happy, excited plowing montage. Their lives are going to turn around.
We also get a Ralph Cramden moment with Pa. Here he is. He comes in and he's so excited. And Mary's talking. They're just kind of talking around the dinner table.
Never heard of it before.
Heard of what?
Plowing in the dark.
Pa can see in the dark.
Only owls can see in the dark.
Hey, everybody. Well, looky there. I'm a few minutes late and all the supper's gone.
You always say if you can't get to the table on time, you don't deserve your supper.
Well, I never should have said that.
Shut up, Mary. Jeez.
His kids are always doing that. Like, you said this, and he's like, oh, crap,
the
again.
Man can barely stand.
Yeah. I can't believe that Laura is saying that she can't believe that Pa's like working at night because he built your house overnight. Like we go over this, like her whole voiceover in that first episode goes into detail about how he worked all day and then like built their house at night. So it was like, grew up like a surprise. And I'm like, what do you mean you think he can't see at night?
That was a whole year ago though. They don't remember that.
Jeez. Memories are short.
Yes. And we do get a view of the kitchen wall. Like, you know, this is before they blew out the kitchen.
Yeah, this is before the Gil Gerard days, before the expansion.
Did you get a lot done?
Oh, I sure did. Got everything plowed on the opposite side of the creek. Another 2 days, I ought to have all the fields plowed.
Oh, that's good.
This guy did more work in this one night than I've done probably in the past 3 years to my garden.
Right.
I bet you he's done more than I even hoped to do and didn't do. Jeez.
I can't even, like, keep a houseplant from dying, so.
You should get a fern. Ferns, I hear, are.
Ferns are forever.
Ferns are awesome. And that's what I was thinking about doing, is sending all of the Walnut Grove Cast Patreon supporters a fern.
Yes.
That would be hilarious, and I don't know. Now I have to look into it. Nobody wants a fern. If you want a fern, send me an email. I'll figure it out. Jeez. Fern seeds, I guess. I don't know. We'll figure it out. One thing I am looking for, I had this whole idea. Leah Mitchell actually mentioned it the other day, and I was like, was she reading my emails? I wanted to find a large amount of lemon verbena seeds and mail them to supporters. And they're impossible to find. I can't find them. They just don't exist. Oh. So to do the plants.
Crazy.
Yeah, the plants are really expensive to ship. So I'm not going to do that. Yeah. But
that's so funny. I wonder, okay, because I had just last night in the Facebook group posted a picture of that beer that I had. That had the lemon verbena.
Yeah, that's another. Yeah, yeah, and you too. I'm like, are these two like in cahoots on my email?
But it's so funny. Now that you say that, I'm like, well, how do they have the lemon verbena if you can't even find seeds? Like,
no, you can buy it. You can buy dried. You can buy the plant.
Mm-hmm.
The plant's about plant's about $28 shipped. But, you know, if I could learn how to harvest the seeds, which I'm not going to do, I won't even plant my own garden. I'm not going to harvest
that
seeds.
That would be extreme dedication.
Yeah.
Harvested the seeds to send to the supporters.
But if I can find seeds, then I would just, you know. But I went to Burpee, and I even sent them an email. So if I hear back from Burpee, maybe I can get some lemon verbena seeds. I hear they're very easy to grow, which was another reason why I kind of wanted to get them.
Yeah. Anyway. Maybe I could even handle that.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So here we go. We have this whole Ralph Kramden moment. Like, this is going to change everything. And we get a vision of in town. Joseph picks up one of those rocking horses, which I think is really cute. Kind of creepy. Not creepy.
Yeah.
Totally, I don't know.
Creepy.
What is this thing? Is it creepy?
Okay. So it is a little bit creepy, but I understand that it's kind of the style that, you know, things like that, you know, were in back in the day. But I think it is a little bit creepy. And I kind of have a feeling that my husband thinks so, too, because last night when I was watching this to prepare for this episode, this is like, sorry, I'm coughing.
It's all right. I've been coughing my head off. I just have a cough button.
But later on in the episode, and this is sort of like getting ahead, so I don't want to throw it out, all the spoilers out there, but whatever, the show's been out for like 46 years, so people can, you know, deal with that.
Yeah, it's like, if you didn't see this episode yet, maybe pause this, go watch it, come back 46 minutes.
But like, after like he gets in the accident, and they kind of zoom in on the little rocking horse,
yeah,
and then my husband's like, what if like the horse like winked at you right now?
That'd be awesome. Oh my god, we have to create like an animated GIF of that. Blink, blink. Or if it started talking, do you know that that old cartoon from the 60s? I'm forgetting. I had it on just the other day. I can't remember. But they superimpose a mouth over just a still animation cell.
Yeah.
And they start talking.
It's totally weird.
Yeah, so it'd be kind of funny if it's like, hi, Joseph. Just grab that stick and get that canteen.
They really could have. It actually would have been really funny. And I mean, maybe like later Little House could have been experimental, like they were with, like, you know, the Carrie episode, with her imagination and everything.
That would have been
but
interesting.
But I think it actually wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility. As they show him, he's clearly getting like increasingly like delirious, you know, as time passes and he's stuck there and he's hungry and dehydrated and who knows what else. He's clearly getting like delirious and he's talking to the toy anyway. So it'd be really funny if the toy talked back because it would be like his imagination. Like, he's delirious and he thinks that like he's conversing with the toy. Like, I think that would have been a really interesting path to go down.
I also want to mention that it would have been really interesting if we could have introduced the Casper voice, because Norma McMillan, who is Alison Arngrim's mom.
Yes. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been an interesting crossover. All of a sudden, because it kind of looks a little Casper-y.
Yeah, I could see that.
I believe she was also Gumby.
Yeah, I think she was, yeah.
So I think that's, but everybody should just kind of look up Alison Arngrim's mother, Norma McMillan. And Alison's father, I didn't know this, his name was Thor. What a cool name, Thor Arngrim.
Yeah, right.
Thor Arngrim.
That is a, yeah.
I don't think he was a pipsqueak.
And I mean that like in a good way, but I'm like, who's named Thor? Like, actually named Thor. Like, that's totally awesome.
Yeah, it's a good name. Well, Thornton. Maybe his name is Thornton.
Oh, and that's like his like chosen
Yeah.
Even if that's like his nickname or like a shortened version, that's still pretty awesome.
Hey, my name's Mark. How you doing? What's your name? Thor. Seriously? Yeah. Tahor. Maybe it's pronounced Tor. All right. Moving on. Let's talk to Kennedy. Kennedy's out. He's hunting. He's out there. He's what he would do for a Game Boy right now. He is so bored.
Yeah,
no Netflix back then.
Oh. Hey, don't tell me. Middle of the day, middle of the week, and you're out hunting, huh?
That's that to go bats. I finished all my work yesterday. I've done everything twice. I smashed every clod. I'll tell you something, Ingles. I ain't never been through anything like this before in my whole life. It's worse than when I was a little kid waiting for Christmas.
I know. I feel the same way. I think everybody does.
I can't sleep nights.
Neither can I.
I get up in the middle of the night. I go out and I look at that fresh cultivated ground, just waiting for them seeds. And I see that corn growing green and pretty. I'll tell you a little secret, Charles. Makes me want to cry.
Sometimes I take off my clothes in the middle of the night and I go lay down in the field.
It's so bizarre. I mean, what I get from this is that Kennedy is totally bored since the Bell controversy was solved a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
And he has no idea. He has to be embroiled in some sort of controversy. It's just in his nature. So now he's all like, I don't know what to do. There's not a controversy going on. I plowed. I'm just waiting for the seed. What can I get involved in? Guess I'll go hunting.
Right. And maybe I'll shoot somebody and have to hide the body. That'll be a good episode, right, Charles?
Yes.
But bad luck whistling. When there's whistling, there's nothing ever good. Don't whistle if you're on a wagon. And I think he's going downhill on the prairie.
Yeah. Right. Well.
I'm just going to play it for a moment. We don't really understand what happens here. I mean, the road is clear. And actually, I just got a view of it. It is not downhill at all.
Yeah, it's hard for me to tell exactly what goes wrong.
Right.
I mean, like, did the brake on the wagon go out? Or, like, I don't really understand.
Don't they have a quick release? I always wondered about this.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's like, because it's like he can't, he loses control of the horses. And I don't know, like, is it that he can't?
They are a rented team. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Beautiful horses. I'm just going to play the noise. I mean, this is all noise for the most part. Dude cannot carry a tune, though. Like, I mean, like, all right, let me get back to me when you choose a key, pal.
Yeah, I mean, I can't whistle at all either, so I'm not really in a position to criticize his whistling.
I don't know. Sing something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you're bored, I guess. Maybe he's just playing with Indian modes or something.
Okay. Slow down. Whoa.
Now, is he tied onto the wagon like a seatbelt?
Right. So, like, what is he reaching for? That's what I can't figure out in this scene. I don't really understand what went wrong. And I guess it looks like he's tied into the wagon and he reaches down and he's like trying to, is he tied to the toy? And I see a rope around his foot. This is so weird. Like,
yeah, I don't know. He's trying to jump, right? I think he's trying to jump and he's
right. I think he wants to bail, but he can't untie himself. But yeah, why is he tied in the wagon? That seems really unsafe. Like, why would you do that? I don't know.
Yeah. That, and you know what? Maybe that was another thing with the 70s. Wear your seatbelt.
Except this isn't really a very good PSA for it, if that's the case, because now he's trapped.
Well, maybe he would have died if he wasn't wearing that seatbelt.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe if he had jumped, he would have hit his head on a tree. And then,
there you go.
Yeah.
He would have been thrown from the wagon. But people get starting to get impatient. So they're like, all right, now I'm really bored. You know, like time has gone on. Now we have to create conspiracy theories. So here we go.
How are you? Charles, you got any idea where that coder might be?
He's more than a day late now.
Ah, come on, it's only 9 o'clock of the second day.
Well, I know what day it is. I know what time it is. What you got to remember, Charles, I've been waiting for him to come back to that seat ever since the day he left. Now, I admit, I'm not a patient man.
You're right, you're not.
I got my fields ready to plant now, 3 days. Comes a week of rain, I'll have to plow all over.
We're all in the same fix, but 3 days later on a three-week trip is nothing to worry about.
I think it's something to worry about.
Kennedy's like, I'm so bored, I bought a calendar.
If you're so bored, right, go look for him.
Yeah.
Right? Go meet him halfway and have, you know, bring a bottle of something and have a great time on the way home.
Yeah, go on like some fun boys' weekend camping trip or something and maybe you'll find him.
Yeah. And, you know, if Nels was there, that's exactly what would be going on. He probably wouldn't have even left by now.
Yeah.
Nels would be doing God knows what. What happens in Minneapolis stays in Minneapolis.
It's like, a big city after all.
I did coin this thing on the Little House Book Club. I think it's funny. It's like, what happens in Pepin stays in Pepin.
Yeah, there you go.
In context, it's a very strange little town. Pepin's still around. Lake Pepin.
Yeah, I saw the like birthplace there once.
Oh, wow.
It was a long time ago, so like my, you know, memories aren't real vivid of it, but...
Well, you also shared photos of the mantle that you took a photo of, and I can't thank you enough. Those are awesome. I really have to take time to go there and check that out. I'm going to try to steal it.
Just pull it off the wall. Now like, that would be impressive.
Can I count on you, Kelly, to help me with that? How big is your car, by the way? No, it's like... That's why I got the RAV4. It has like a super suspension.
Yeah, we're going to have to use your car because I don't think my Honda Civic will be able to
put it through the like sunroof driving it away.
Yeah. We'll have to like tie it to the top of the car, I guess.
Now we have it. Now we have it. All right. But Joseph gets thrown. I mean, it's a pretty bad crash, right? It's like they really made the wagon crash. I mean, that was a real wreck.
It's a terrifying scene. I mean, like, anytime there's a wagon crash on the show, it's, like, totally terrifying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm just, like, that whole scene, like, I actually, like, cringe when I'm watching it. Because, like, when he's, like, kind of screaming and trying to, like, get everything sorted out and he can't, you know, get out of the situation. And I'm like, man, that's, like, so terrifying. And it's even almost in a way more terrifying, I think, because he can, like, see it happening, but he can't do anything about it. And it kind of... You know, like, it's not like it's, like, an instant, like, boom, crash, like,
it's what I imagine, like, on a plane. That's what I imagine. It's kind of like, you know you're going down, and eventually
yeah, right, and it's like, there's nothing you can do about it, and it's just, like, so terrifying.
Yeah. But Joseph is stuck. I'm going to play some of this. I think this is where the movie Castaway came from, like, with Wilson.
Yeah, they were, like, inspired by this, totally.
Blink. I'm just picturing it blinking, that's all.
Can't do it, Pony. Can't do it.
You couldn't give him a better name, though. Pony?
Yeah. I mean, he's basically your only friend right now, so you might as well give him a real name.
Right. Like, I don't know. It would be nice to kind of give a halfway decent, memorable name. Maybe Thor. Who knows?
So, like Trixie or something.
Trixie, that'd be a good name. It is Trixie. It's Trixie the horsey. So it's very visual with him. We can hear in the background being played on a loop over and over again. Crows. Crows are... First I thought they were vultures, but they're crows coming to eat the corn.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to now make it his job to keep the corn... as safe as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I don't know, you can't really do too much. I mean, the crows, they fly in packs? I don't know if they fly in packs.
What is that called? There's a term for it, and I can't even think of what it is right now.
A murder, maybe.
Yeah, that's right, it is. Yeah. It's a murder of crows.
And they're smart. That's another thing with crows. Crows, like, if you hurt a crow, they all consent, you know, they all turn on you. Crows are extremely smart. I just remembered that out of nowhere.
Yeah. Okay, so over the summer, my dog killed a bird.
Was it a crow?
I don't think it was a crow. Like, it was black, but it was smaller. So, like, I don't think it was a crow, but maybe it was. Maybe there are different varieties. Maybe it was, like, a, you know, a young one or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're, like, flying around kind of in the sky, and there was one that was sort of, like, hanging out, and it started to fly away, and, like, mid-flight, like, my dog just, like, jumped up and grabbed it.
Oh,
and then he was just, like, running laps with this little bird in his mouth. And he just totally killed it. Like, aww. I mean, like, he grabs it, and its neck is, like, broken, but it's not dead yet. And then he kind of played with it, and then it died. But it was, like, one of those things I'm watching unfold, and I'm like, well, I can't do anything about this.
Yeah, you're on the wagon. You can't get off the wagon. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, my husband's all like, okay, I better, like, go find something to just kill the bird because it's, like, suffering because, like, you know, it's not yet dead, but...
Yeah.
But then it ended up dying before we had to intervene anyway. But anyway, this whole like bird family and friends or whatever, they're like flying circles right above my dog, like squawking really angrily. Like they were like so like mad. And I'm just like, wow, this is like a really crazy little snippet out of my day right here. It was just like all like they were intense, though. Like I'm like, man, these birds are like pissed.
We had like, something similar that happened. I have two little dogs. One is a miniature poodle, and poodles are naturally, they're hunters. Mm-hmm. And his name is, it's a pretty cruel name. It's Toodles. And Toodles, when he was young, he actually killed a baby rabbit. He's really, really aggressive. Mm-hmm. And he outruns and catches squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to yell, you know, because he'll, so we heard this. I heard like, a murder of birds, I guess, or I don't know if that's just for crows, but like the same type of squealing that you just described. And I look outside and I see Toodles has something in his mouth. And I just yell Toodles and he just lets the bird go and he flies away. I was like,
that's so crazy that your dog would actually drop that because my dog is a beagle, so a hunter.
Hunting.
So it's totally like comes naturally for him to pursue animals. And like, you know, he's gotten like, you know, he's had contact with squirrels in the backyard. And like, you know, this is the first time he actually killed the animal in our yard. He's caught a squirrel and then we have a fence that it has like little holes in it. And then it was able to get away before he could like, you know, get it. But anyway, he goes nuts, obviously, for any small prey. Like, he's just like, I got to get it. And like, so beagles are known for being like very one track mind because they're hounds. Yeah. So it's like, there's no way like you cannot get him to leave it. Like, he just is like dead set. It's like he basically might as well be deaf because like he's just going to go like get it.
I think I scared him more than anything. And he just kind of let the bird, you know, and just flew away. But, you know, my dogs are pretty nervous. any sound, they start freaking out. So
yeah,
you yell at them like, what? is there a snack involved?
Give me food and I'll do anything.
But my other dog will just kind of slowly chase because he's a Maltese and he's just a fat little white dog. And the poodle, he's a killer for real. I'm sure he's killed other things.
Yeah. As a side note, since you have a Maltese and I have a beagle, this one time at the dog park, this girl had a cross between a beagle and a Maltese, and it was like the cutest dog. It was so cute. So it was like, you know, kind of had the like, okay, so it had like Maltese style fur, but flappy ears, and like it was tri-colored, but a lot more white than like sort of your like what you'd picture like a typical hound to have, you know.
I just looked it up. Holy cow, that is really cute.
It was so adorable. Like, I was like, I kind of want to have a dog like this. Like, it's a Maltese. Yeah.
All right. Then I'll put a link to it in the show notes. My next dog I want to get is essentially Jack, which looks like my Maltese, but big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like, what is he? Some kind of like terrier?
Sheepdog, I think.
Sheepdog, yeah.
Maybe. Or mutt, maybe. I'm not really sure. But anyway. All right. So back to the wagon wreck. And let's see. Where are we? Ma's talking about making tea. That's basically Ma's best friend. She's making tea for the wife.
Pop, pot to the water or the water to the pot. My mother never could remember which was right.
Oh, I really don't think it matters.
It certainly does if you're particular about your tea. Now, rolling boil is considered...
Now, what she was probably going to go on and say is that a rolling boil is never good to make tea with. I'm hoping that's what she was going to say.
Yeah,
because
right.
You could scald or burn the tea.
Yeah.
But I never heard of this phrase that she says, you know, the pot to the kettle or the kettle to the pot.
Yeah. And she just says it like it's like some commonplace. I don't know. Maybe it was on the prairie.
Yeah.
Will you stop that? I'm going to wear that handkerchief out, folding it and refolding it. You mustn't let yourself be so upset.
I know it's foolish of me, but I am worried.
Well, you shouldn't be. Your husband is only a day and a half overdue, and that's not long from Minneapolis. It's such a long way.
When do you think I should worry, Caroline?
Yeah, like, what's the appropriate time frame? When would you start to worry if it were Charles?
In 35 minutes. Then you could worry.
Yeah. I always do think it's pretty crazy on this show, though. Like, you know, Charles goes out and he goes on trips, gets stuck places, and they have, like, no mode of communicating. And it's like, I think I would be such a worrywart. You know, like, I'd be like, when's he coming home? Like, why isn't he here? Did something happen? Because, you know, bad stuff always happens on the prairie.
Yeah.
I would just always be, like, assuming the worst.
It's true. You know, I think you probably become desensitized to it.
Yeah. I guess if it's what you're used to, you know, you don't have that instantaneous communication like we have.
Yeah. So, again, about boiled water, Charles is kind of getting a little nervous, and Caroline is, again, with her wonderful words of wisdom.
He'll be here. You'd better get some sleep or you'd be too tired to plant that corn when it does get here.
You're right. A watched pot doesn't boil.
Jump with the boil.
Let's get some sleep.
Now, this is a weird thing. He says, let's get some sleep. And she starts cracking up.
Yeah. She's like, I'll get the popcorn, Charles.
Right. It's already out. It's already done.
She just pulls the bowl from under the bed like, I thought you'd say that.
A huge bowl. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're super into that metaphor of the boiling water in this episode.
Yeah, they can't talk. I think maybe popcorn and corn in general might be a very sore subject for these, you know, for the past couple of days.
Yeah.
I don't think you should bring it up. Charles is starting to feel the pressure of the entire town. It's for whatever reason, they're blaming him. I mean, it's kind of like, it really is like a pyramid scheme gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He refers to them as...
I think Charles was like the leader, so he talked them all into it.
Yeah, but his money's in there too. And
yeah.
This is one thing that we see Charles do very often. His punchline always is followed with kind of taking the horse leathers or whatever they're called and go, yeah, you know?
Yeah, right. Like, that's like his mic drop moment. Like, he's like, yeah.
Right.
So he's trying to talk to you.
All right, Ingles, and you tell us, where is he?
The man's 3 days over to at sundown. 3 days, you're ready to car and feather him.
Bunch of wet-nosed children, you can't wait 3 days for something good to happen to you.
How long are you willing to wait, Ingles?
As long as I have to.
Kind of like with Han Solo, he's like, then I'll see you in hell in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not to mention, like, it's a little bit of an exaggeration to say as long as you have to, because, I mean, you have to get the crop planted by some point or it's not going to work. So it's like, you have to have a cutoff point where it's like, this isn't going to work.
Thankfully, Joseph did have something to do. He spent 2 days and he finally got his hands on the canteen.
So, yes, in a very creative way. The pony told him how.
Exactly. The pony, blink, blink. And yeah, he takes a drink of water, which we've all been thirsty. And the way he describes it is, I thought, shocking.
Oh. Oh, that's good, pony. Like rain on dry ground.
Those birds. I think it would have been better if he had hurt his leg and he had a fever and we didn't know if, because he seems fine other than the fact that there's a wagon on top of him.
The fever would have made
these type of, you know, that's why he's talking to the toy. It's all of a sudden the birds are kind of getting to him. It would create a little bit more chaos.
Yeah, I think that, I think I even wrote in my notes in this one that I felt like he was becoming a little delirious right now.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I was just sort of reading too much into that. But maybe it's because he's talking so much to the pony and saying that, like, the birds are laughing and stuff. I'm kind of like, you seem like you're getting a little...
it's getting to you. I would be freaking out at this point, personally.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, I would be like, well, this is how I'm dying, I guess.
And isn't this a road that's traveled? How come people aren't going by? It's a lot of strangeness. Well,
it seems to be, because we will see that Charles drives right by him and doesn't see him. So it must be because he's down a hill, I guess, and maybe
I guess even if you yelled. Yeah, I mean, even if you yelled, you probably wouldn't hear it over that noisy wagon.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess maybe it's easy to miss, or if you don't know to, like, look there, you maybe would overlook it. I don't know.
But meanwhile, at the mercantile, here we are.
Go away. Heavens, is that too much to ask?
Nell, basically you have all the men kind of congregating in front of, I mean, there's no saloon. If there was a saloon, that's where they would be. They're in front of the mercantile, probably eating licorice or something. eating candy.
Yeah, well, maybe they got a bottle of that tonic that
Nell carries. Sharing a 4-ounce bottle of tonic.
All that foul language. Honestly, Nels, why don't you go out there and assert your... Oh, Mrs. Coulter. Oh, Mary, Laura, come in. Now go close the door. Now close your ears. Oh, those men out there. This is terrible. They've been driving me crazy all morning. Did they upset you? No.
Mrs. Coulter, girls, we have to make allowances. Now, these are not evil men out there. They're our friends, our neighbors.
Well, they're behaving like animals. All that foul language. Oh, honestly, I can certainly do without that kind of behavior and friends or neighbors or whatnot. I don't care. Mrs. Coulter, what can we do for you?
So it's just really, I mean, this is the Harriet we kind of like. I don't know.
She's actually being pretty decent. I mean, she's upset, and I think rightfully so. I mean, I'd be kind of annoyed if I were her, too, that all these unreasonable men are just, like, hanging out on her porch. Well,
this is probably as nice as Harriet will ever get in this scene.
Yeah, and I mean, like, she's very sympathetic, unusually so. One of the few scenes, we have a few times throughout the show where we see this side of her, but she's really... nice. She's sympathetic. She's nice to Mary and Laura, which is not always the case, as we know.
Almost never.
So it is a little bit surprising that she's, you know, really showing her nice side. Of course, Nels is kind of the typical, like, mediator, trying to be, see their side of it, too, you know. But
Reverend Alden always says, shut up, Nels. So here he is. He's bringing in all this stuff, and they're talking about... basically, the birth of Amazon Prime, really, is what we're talking about here.
It might be too much for you to carry.
We're not that weak. We can carry 50 pounds.
50 pounds?
If we want to do. But we don't want to.
No. Now, just give Mrs. Coulter just what she's going to need today, and then Nels will be delivering 50 pounds of flour to your place this afternoon.
Oh, really?
Her Majesty has spoken.
That is just part of our service.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, no, never mind.
Thank you.
Even their relationship, we've never seen the Olsons even get along this well.
Yeah. Like, he calls her, like, Her Majesty, but it's in, like, a nice way. I mean, because ordinarily the way that Harriet is, I could definitely see being like, well, she wears the pants in the family, so you better listen to her. But he says it in a way where it's very just, like, nice, like it's affectionate the way that he says it, and she's like affectionate towards Mrs. Coulter and then the girls, and I'm very surprised, and I was surprised by the offer of delivering all the flour and everything, because we see Nels make deliveries, like, with the bigger items and everything, but is it really something that they do, like, all the time? I don't know,
maybe Nels, like, and Harriet got some of that drink. Yeah. So.
You don't really see people like going into the mercantile and just being like, I'd like you to deliver five pounds of flour and 3 cans of corn to my house this afternoon.
Corn? Delivery. Don't bring up corn again. But here we go. This is where they basically attack a pregnant woman.
A lot of money, that's why. I know that as well as you do.
Anytime you go trusting a man with a lot of money, you've got cause to worry.
But we really ain't got any cause to blame his wife. I say leave her out of it.
She got no business here. I don't care what you say. Poke a date like he is, I'm surprised she dare show her face. No decent woman.
Yeah, and I mean you, lady. You yes. got a nerve, you have.
Your man's got us hung out on the line, Mrs. Colder.
My land's waiting. My year's crop staked on his say-so.
Chances are he's run off with our money.
This is just cruel, you know?
It is. Like, when he's just like, yeah, I mean you, lady, I'm like, whoa. This is, like, crazy.
But, you know, I have to imagine that this is what happens with scammers in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Probably people do blame spouses or family members, and maybe sometimes rightfully so, but not the pregnant woman whose husband is missing. Jeez.
Yeah, no sympathy at all.
And we get this Mary. Holy cow, where did she come from? She's
so. This is like fourth season Mary, but in the first season, it's crazy.
Yeah, this is really interesting to see. Well, she runs off, and then Laura goes running after her, and Mary's like, I wish your name was Gil Gerard, because I'm going to give you a piece of my mind.
Look what you did. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves talking to her that way.
Now, wait a minute.
And she's going to have a baby. You're awful.
Now, look here, young lady.
God will punish you. You'll see. You deserve it. All of you. He'll punish you. I know he will.
This is like... She, I don't know what she was holding out. Let's guess it was sugar. I don't know.
Well, they were carrying a little bit of flour, weren't they?
It was a small bag, and she threw it. She's so mad. And they're probably like, what's in there?
Jeez, too much powder.
Sniffing powder. So, yeah, so it was a really interesting thing to see Mary act that way. I thought that was really kind of fun.
Well, because she always seems, because we've talked before and you've brought up in other episodes too with other people you've discussed it with, that there's like season 4 Mary, there's kind of like they're doing something with the character, and she gets kind of like more assertive and a little bit, even sometimes, like, I don't want to say like aggressive, but just really like lays it out there.
Like they're trying to develop this character.
Yeah, and
a sass.
She's not really like that before that, but like in this episode, she is a little bit. This is like the very young version of her.
Yeah.
That person, I guess.
So they chase her down. Mary catches up like there's no tomorrow. Maybe her adrenaline was running and she ran up to them. And
too bad she couldn't just find him, though. She could have lifted that wagon right off with that adrenaline.
I have to wonder. So I don't think our times are coordinated, but at 31 minutes, almost 30, about 32 minutes, they're under a tree where Mrs. Colston? Is that, I'm going to keep messing it
Coulter.
Up. Colton. Jesus.
Coulter.
Mrs. Coulter. So, like Cotter. So they're under a tree. Is this the tree that Pop fell out of and broke his ribs?
Oh, it's like the cursed tree.
I think it's a cursed tree.
Yeah.
Holy moly. I don't know if, I guess we'd have to go back.
They should probably chop the tree down.
Yeah, make a fire with it.
Scare that tree.
She can't get up. She can't get up.
It's kind of like that commercial. I've fallen and I can't get up.
Every pregnant wife on the prairie should have life alert.
It's true.
Coulter. Mrs. Coulter? Run back and get Dr. Baker, Laura. Hurry!
So it's this big, thing. This big thing where it's like, Laura, go and run. She always has to run. Here's the Life Alert commercial. I'm just going to play it real quick.
Recently, when I became deathly ill, I was able to summon an ambulance, my next-door neighbor,
my family, and my doctor without picking up a telephone. I use this remote control to contact LifeCall, my 24-hour emergency medical response service. Watch. You just press this button and speak into the air and...
I'm having chest pain.
I'm calling paramedics and your family, Mr. Miller.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
We're sending help immediately, Mrs. Fletcher.
Mrs. Fletcher sounds like she's from, like, New Hyde Park.
Right. Just imagine if Joseph had Life Alert when he got in his accident.
Well, the both of them. I mean, yeah, the both of them could have really used Life Alert in a moment like this. So this is a good time for me to mention that if you use your promo code at lifealert.com. No,
this episode of Walnut Grove Pass is brought to you by Life Alert.
By Life Alert. Don't leave home without it. Thankfully, we're a commercial-free podcast. Jeez. Thank you.
Look, friend, New Elm ain't no big city. Not much goes on here.
This is Charles getting into Minnesota. No, not Minnesota. What am I talking about? Minneapolis. I always can.
Yeah, yeah.
As a New Yorker, yeah, well, there's New York and there's the rest of the country. So you just have
no,
to
I get it. Out. Yeah. All
right. Nothing goes on here that I don't know about.
Well, I didn't mean to doubt you, Constable. I just want to make sure, that's all.
You can take it to the bank. If I say he went through here day before yesterday, he went through here day before yesterday.
Take it to the bank. Is that a clue?
Oh, foreshadowing. got it.
That is really getting like, that's a bit too deep of a dive.
There's some crazy fan theory embedded there.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I forget the name of the documentary, maybe Room 324 or something like that, when it has to do with The Shining. Mm-hmm. With Kubrick's embedding of things. And have you ever seen it?
I have not.
It's mm-hmm. worth seeing if you just want to see how far these kind of conspiracy theories and theories in general can go. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Had a big load of grain. Everything fine as frog hair.
He's got to be between here and Walnut Grove.
Well, unless he got there already.
No, I'd have passed him on the road. I can't understand it. A big wagon like that just doesn't vanish.
If it was a valuable load, it sure could have.
Abduction. No. Now, I like this guy.
Alien abduction episode.
Yeah. This is a very special episode about abduction. What about, yeah. I like this guy, and he takes something out of his pocket and takes a bite of it and puts it back. What is it? Do you know?
Is it chewing tobacco?
Or like... No, because he's not. I think with that, you put it in your gums.
Mm.
This was like... I don't know. I have to find out what it is. Maybe just a piece of toffee or something.
Well, he's in the big city, so he has probably a big candy store.
Yeah.
He goes to.
Probably. So here we go. We have, I don't know what scene this is. I just wrote the word happy lady. Not really sure what this is.
Wood pile is gone. The fire's going out. I got more to do than... sit in a rocking chair and look out the window to see who's passing.
Now, this is, in from what I understand, this is the real way that Laura Ingalls Wilder was when she grew up. She would just sit around in her shack, pick up twigs.
Yeah.
In case somebody comes by to ask.
Sorry, ma'am, didn't mean to bother you.
I didn't say I didn't see him. I might have.
Well, did you?
Couple of 3 days ago.
What's
seems
it worth
like
it
I
to
remember
you?
A wagon like yeah. that. I think I did.
So, all right. So she's.
I'm waiting for this lady to be like, give me $5 and I'll tell you.
Right. It's kind of like, I haven't had a gentleman caller in quite a while.
Got any of that tonic in your bag in there?
You got any popcorn up in there? Don't bring up corn. So
Sore subject.
And
that would be Paul would be like, no, I don't. Slap of the reins. Take off.
Exactly. When will you be back? Yeah, and he'll just have some type of quip.
Yeah.
When I have to be. I don't know. Not a good one. So Doc is mixing up something that's going to knock her out for 8 to 10 hours.
No, it's like, insane. Typical Doc just pumping the drugs out.
He's like, I'm taking this from my own personal stash. That's kind of what it looks like, right? It's like, put a teaspoon, and it's like, well, how do you measure a teaspoon? With a teaspoon. It's like, are you a real doctor?
Well, if you take a sip that's about 2 seconds long, it should be enough for you.
Well, what would be really great is like, I don't know if I have the mixture right. Let me just take a little nip of it.
That's a favorite part of his job. It's like in the morphine episode when he has to like taste it. Yeah, it's like his favorite part. He's like, all right.
Oh my God. All right. But here he is. He's going to send a bill. He's just giving his, what's going on. Everybody's sitting out in the kitchen. Carrie just looks like she's having a great time, actually. Unaware of what's going on.
Of course.
So we'll be right here.
Good. Her problem's more emotional than physical. I mean, I'm sure she's not going to lose the baby unless she does something harmful out of her anxiety.
Well, if we don't get some news of her husband soon.
And if the news is bad, I'd better not be more than 5 minutes away.
What does that mean? You can't go more than 5 minutes away? I mean, you can't go anywhere in 5 minutes.
Why are you leaving at all? Yeah, I mean, like, if you have to be 5 minutes away, you better just stay at the house.
Right, just go to the outhouse or something. I don't know. Just, the whole thing is very strange.
Stay in the barn or something. I don't know.
You're a doctor. You just spend all day here. There's no other problems.
You can get a free meal out of the deal. I'm sure Caroline would cook something up. And
Charles drives by where the wreckage happened. Jonathan tries to yell, but nothing. Just doesn't happen. The people of Walnut Grove are still kind of getting a bit of a, you even mentioned, a bit of a mob mentality is starting to form.
Totally.
I'm surprised they didn't burn their barn down or something at this point.
I'm kind of surprised. You know, I feel like if Jed Larrabee were like a member of the mob, there probably would have been barns burning down at this point.
Yeah, definitely. But here we go. We have another. We get the word cahoots, which is always a fun word to talk about.
Want to know is where Ingles is. Go ahead and answer me if you're so smart.
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you where he ain't. He ain't run off with Colder to spend our money. You think that about Charles Ingles, you're dead wrong.
Yeah? Well, what am I supposed to think? Neither one of us here, are they? Go ahead and answer me that. All right.
I'll answer that.
Oh, boy.
Now, you men clear out of here, and you clear out of here.
Yeah,
right,
we got as much right here as anybody else.
You are blocking the entrance.
He ain't blocking it.
You are so with your dirty talk and your nasty manners why no one would dare come past you. We haven't done a nickel's worth of business all day long because of you. Get out of here.
You just go and wait somewhere else for a change. Come on. Cuss all you want someplace else. Just get out of here. Go on, all of you.
Nels is there with his perfectly white dress shirt, all pressed and starched.
Yeah, well, I can tell them why they haven't done a nickel of business, because everybody that lives in Walnut Grove is sitting on their porch with mom.
Exactly. Don't you have wives to go home to?
Yeah, right.
But they have nothing to do, which is another, it's a whole other thing,
They don't have any hobbies. They're used to working all the time, and when they don't have work to do.
We get a really interesting scene here where we get to a farmer's farm, and we get a guy who is chopping wood like he's never chopped wood before. I don't know if you noticed that. He was actually swinging the axe towards his leg. He was balancing the log with his foot and then doing it. And I'm like, all right, you're going to cut your foot off or something. That's not a good idea. And I think it's because he's a fancy boy.
Well, I think that really he's more into finances than farming, so he's not very good at farming.
Well, I think he finds things very often. And what he found was an opportunity, because do you want to talk about who he is?
Well,
who the actor is?
His name is Ed Stacey, or is it really? Because as we'll see, it's the same guy that plays Sprague. What's Sprague's first name? I can't think of it right now.
Ebenezer.
Ebenezer, that's right. Ebenezer Sprague. So it's the same actor who we're going to meet, the next season when he shows up as the banker. Mm-hmm. And he's Mr. Poor. I don't even know what kind of farm he has, what kind of operation he has. But
chopping wood, I don't know.
Yeah, some poor, farmer type guy Possibly lives alone, no indication of family, not really sure. Happens on some nice horses that have a tag from Minneapolis.
Snip, snip, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So he mentions to Charles, he does the right thing. He says, look, I'm broke, but I'm not that broke. And I forget the term he uses, but he tells him he found a rented team of horses. So here's that.
That's your team. I was going to keep them. I mean, it's a good team. More than likely broke loose from somebody. Probably that fella you're looking for. Would there be any chance your man had rented a team from an outfit in Minneapolis?
Every chance.
Well, the tag on his harness says they're the property of a livery stable in Minneapolis.
Where'd you find him?
About a mile back down the road from where you came.
I passed.
Right to the left of the crushed wagon.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You know, it's like there's a foul smell coming from over there. There's a lot of birds.
Yeah, you would think if anything, shoot. Someone would notice all the birds. Like, they would find the wagon because they'd be like, what's with all these birds?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, freaking out over there.
Even when Charles goes by, you would think, you know, what, you know, all those birds.
Yeah, you think that his, like, you know, senses would be tingling. Like, ooh, something's going on over there.
Yeah, but I love this little thing with Sprague.
My bastard. I was going to write them fellas and tell them about this team. I just ain't got around to it yet.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he goes on.
Hey, Ingles, I want you to know it's not like I stole them horses. I found them. I mean, they just walked. Good team anyway, come think of it.
So, a little comedic, acting from Sprague.
Yeah, I like the scene. I mean, I think he's a funny guy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let's see. Oh, this is the cahoots. So Charles finally finds Jonathan, thankfully. Jonathan looks
Joseph.
Joseph. Jeez. The thief.
Do you even watch the show? Do I know, you even right? watch the episode?
He finds the ginger man. and here he is. And well, this is the scene where basically the entire town is kind of going crazy. Well, that's the sound that is there when Charles finally finds Joseph.
Robbery is what it is. They say I stole my last dollar for this harebrained scheme. Ingles and Calder both.
They made their way across the street to Anson's lumber yard.
Of course.
They're getting thrown out everywhere.
Well, right, because they got thrown out of the mercantile, so they're like, what other place can we go hang out in town?
That blacksmith creeps me out.
I'm surprised they didn't have, like, a town meeting. Like, I motion we get a saloon so that people yeah. can gather somewhere.
This would be a perfect time to have a saloon. Second best thing is Hanson's. He's always got a bottle in the drawer, probably.
Yeah, but then Reverend Alden would be like, well, no, I don't know if that's the best idea.
Exactly. It's like, sure, Reverend. But we did get a great speech here from Lars.
He was in cahoots. You can't tell me there's been an accident. I know when I've been robbed.
It's not only us, it's our wives and our kids.
Food right out of their mouths.
Listen. When you get scared, you strike out against your best friend. You call him a thief. You pick on a pregnant woman. And you make her sick so she almost loses her baby. Well, tell me what kind of a man does that? No man. Cowards. Cowards without backbones. You don't deserve good luck. You don't
Mr.
deserve...
Mr. Hanson!
Hanson's cadence is weird. Baby, backbones!
It's so weird. So weird.
So here we have... we have this... I don't know, this random kid on a horse.
Like, who is that kid?
I don't know. It's like Judd Larrabee's kid or something.
Mr. Ingles says to tell you he's back. The Seacorn's out to Mr. Coulter's place. Mr. Coulter's hurt because the team ran off and broke the wagon.
Who's this ginger boy? He's the reddest hair in America. I just noticed him.
Why is Charles telling this random kid to go tell them? I don't get it. Like, who is this kid? Was it just the first kid that Charles saw when he, like, got back to town?
Here, take a handful of corn and go and prove it to them. Surprised he didn't do that.
I don't get it for the purposes of the plot. Who is this kid and why does it matter? Like, why wouldn't he just have Laura run into town and be like,
yeah,
we have to go get Doc Baker or whatever. I don't know.
Mm. But he's all right. I gotta get Doc Baker.
Now, another thing I do want to mention is when Charles went to go and look for him, we kind of skipped that part a little bit, but so much going on. So Charles is kind of like, all right, somebody has to go look for him. So he goes look for him, but he takes his wagon. Why didn't he take just a horse? It would have been so much quicker.
Well, okay.
It's a good thing he had the wagon, but
no,
still.
Right, because how else would he, like, you know, transport him? So maybe he was...
Maybe he's preparing for the worst.
Prepared. Yeah, he's prepared for everything. Like that, he read in that book.
So you bring
that he's
a team.
Always reading before bed.
You get somebody else with you on a horse to go ahead, and Charles follows.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird.
What are you waiting for? Your precious seed corn is here.
And they all cheer, and that's it. It's over. Dun, 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 dun. It's like, yay! Everybody, it's all forgiven.
Like, we still don't care about Coulter, but the seed is here. Woo-hoo.
Right. And the next scene is she gives birth, and everybody's having a picnic, and they're all happy. No, that doesn't. It's not exactly it. Coulter is like, I am out. I got this crutch. I got a broken leg. Got a pregnant wife who was eating everything in the house.
Yeah.
All she does is drink tea.
Somewhere else.
She shouldn't even be drinking tea because of the caffeine. So.
Yeah. Well, it depends what kind of tea, making. True. I don't know. Like, I can't imagine that they really had a huge selection that they were picking from at the Ingalls house. But
they could be making lemon verbena tea. You can make tea from the leaves. That'd be very nice.
Or like peppermints, chamomile. Those are without caffeine.
Sounds very nice.
But which, if it don't have caffeine, what's the point?
But strong black tea, in my opinion.
I suppose. Yeah.
Set to go, huh?
Yeah.
This is no way to change your mind.
Charles, after what my so-called friends and neighbors did to my wife while I was out busting my leg for them...
They were not your friends, in all fairness. Well, you even said you were hoping to make friends, and you screwed up.
I almost can't believe that Charles isn't like, there's no way to change your mind, huh? Well, here's this presentation that I've prepared.
Right.
Why you need to stay.
It's like, don't pay attention to all that noise outside. It's like, these
all
men
have
of
dreams. I know I do.
But here's the rest of it, because it's just kind of bizarre. But yeah, in all fairness, they're not your friends. This is like a business, and you screwed up.
Right, and it's like, I don't know. Well, I was actually, going back a little bit to like when Mr. Hansen was like yelling at them, and he was like, you turn on your best friend. Who was he talking
about?
Oh, you
do mention that. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Was he talking about Charles? Like, is he saying that Charles is everybody's best friend? Because like, since when? I mean, I know everybody loves Charles, but I'm like, really? He's just the town's best friend? Or is he talking about Joseph Coulter, which is like not accurate because he says he doesn't have friends?
I think, it's a hard one to pinpoint because they're really turning on everybody at this point.
Yeah. Or did he just mean it like as an example of like when you get into this kind of mind state, you would turn on your best friend? I don't know. It's weird.
No. We also don't get any input from Mary about how mad she is at them. And did you see the guy's face when she's like, God's going to get you?
Yeah.
It's like I got a whole flashback of the Jezebel scene. It's like, Jezebel?
No, totally. So she actually, she's acting very much like that lady.
Yeah.
Well, you will burn!
In all fairness, they're God-fearing people. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. And when his face, he was like, what? You just, it's like, you just gave me a jinx.
Yeah, right. Like, this kid is, like, cursing me. What?
Was he a killer or something like that? So, all right, here's the rest of that scene.
No. No, I want nothing more to do with them or this part of the country.
You're gonna... The whole country?
You feel the same way?
Yeah. Yeah, just like, what, are you going to give up farming too? I don't get it.
You know, I can go to Roosevelt Field Mall, right? And I go into the Apple store and I don't really like, you know, what I bought. It broke. But I'm not going to blame the mall.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's like, this is just a bad situation. Bad apples. So a few bad apples in the town got carried away, but...
And they have the Lego store. I mean, come on. How am I going to... They've never done anything wrong. And Charles is a great friend. And Caroline, you're just going to turn your back on one of your best friends.
Yeah, like, she's your only friend. Like, she's your best friend.
She's your tea friend. But, you know, I feel she didn't really like Caroline too much. Like, when Caroline's like, well, water to the pot or pot to the tea. But, you know, whatever. It's like, well, I don't really think it matters,
like,
Caroline.
Shut up about tea. Just give me the tea.
Just grab a little bit of the, you know, add something to it so I can get through this day. You're pregnant. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's 1875.
That's okay. Maybe Doug Baker has something for me.
Do you have any? It's like, yeah. It's like, oh, you don't have to give that to me. I can just have a conversation with Caroline and I'll be out for hours. Maybe. Caroline, tell me your tea story again. Poor Caroline.
What did your mom say about water?
Oh, again with the water to the pot. Jeez.
I most certainly do.
I can't say as I blame you. Besides, with that leg, you wouldn't be able to make a crop this year anyway.
Rub it in.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of like, ha ha, you're going to be broke. There's another thing I think that's kind of strange is he was willing to sacrifice his own farm because he was going to go and get the corn or the seed, and his property was not even prepared for any of this.
Right.
That's kind of interesting. You think that as a thank you, they could have prepped his property? That should have been part of the deal.
Yeah, yeah, right. And they're bored anyway, right?
Yeah,
they
that's why.
Like, you guys, like,
you guys just hanging out doing nothing while you're busy doing nothing productive.
That Charles wouldn't be like, "Why don't you go plow his property?"
Yeah,
fill your time with that.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
That is the truth.
Before you go, I'd like to show you something.
What you got?
Just take a second. Come on.
What you got? Comes hobbling out. Furniture maker Charles couldn't make him a better crutch. It's like a mop on a stick.
Or like a wheelchair.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
And we see all of them kind of, they're cropping up. I don't know what you call this. Prepping the land.
Hey, that was a good pun.
Cropping up.
Yeah.
One of your friends and neighbors is going to plant a seed until they plowed and planted your field.
Now, if you look closely, you could see one of those teams was the team from Minneapolis.
So they
stole it.
No, actually, it'd be funny if in, you know, a few, like, next season, but just like a few episodes ahead of where we are right now, Ebenezer Sprague comes rolling into town.
Selling a team.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I wonder how it worked back then. Like, you know, basically the equivalent of U-Haul. Maybe a deposit was left. I mean, horses were very expensive.
And, I mean, would this be another trip back to Minneapolis to return the horses? Or do they have, like, a depot they work with in Sleepy Eye? I can't imagine they do, right? But, like, so this guy is going to have to take another two-week trip to, like, return the team and then...
Well, two people, because how does he get back?
Well, what happened to the horse he rode up there on? Because we saw him ride up on a horse, and then he has his team and wagon. What happened to that horse? And
maybe you leave your horse there as collateral. But that doesn't make sense. I'll keep two. You can keep this lame horse. It took me 4 days to get here.
Yeah, he's already worn out.
Poor bunny.
Yeah, that's weird. What happened to that horse and how are they going to get back? I don't know. That's very weird. Is he just in like a cycle of like always having a borrowed animal?
I bet you there was a financial deposit. There had to be something. But here's a little bit more. Charles takes full credit of this. By the way, Charles is not lifting a finger.
he's the supervisor.
He's just there to like release the info.
Well, you know what happens when you're at like the top of the pyramid? Everybody else does the work for you.
And everybody applauds.
Yes.
Oh my god, it's a very visual episode, but we're getting to a little bit of something here. Waiting for Laura to go, and we had corn the entire year.
If I had a remembrance book, I would write down how everyone planted corn, but next season we have wheat again.
A tornado.
Right, because they go back to wheat, don't they? Because in the second season, when he wants to give up and move back to Wisconsin because he lost the crop, doesn't he come in after the storm and say the wheat's gone?
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
So he has wheat. Like, he goes back to wheat.
The storm of 1876 took away all of the corn, and we had to go back and eat Jack. That didn't happen. I read the books.
Yeah.
Still want to leave?
Yeah. Doesn't change the fact that they, you know, attack the wife and all this stuff. You know?
Yeah, totally.
How about apology?
Yeah. Well, and it's like, do you still want to leave? It's like, well, they're doing the work for me, so why not?
Can they do this next year, too?
Trudy? Let's go say hello to our new neighbors.
Scam is complete.
I mean, like, are they really new neighbors? They've been there for, like, what, a year we've established? Because he's already grown a crop of corn there.
We bought our house nearly 10 years ago. There are several people in my neighborhood I've yet to speak to.
Oh, totally the same here. Yeah, there's a...
There are a couple we are close with, so.
Yeah. There's, like, the guy that's, like, right next to us. Will, like, kind of speak in passing, sort of, like, you know, talk a little bit.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, another neighbor we've talked to a little bit. There's, like, a couple of neighbors that we've talked to, but you kind of want to, like, not get into the conversation because you'll never get out until, like, 3 hours later.
Yeah, I might
you
be
know,
that guy.
You know, that kind of situation.
Yeah, I might be that guy.
So there are some neighbors that were kind of, like...
We have a new neighbor right across the street. The way our houses are, each corner house is identical but mirrored in the way they're built. And the guy who bought the same exact house as me but the mirror image is like a divorcee who just kind of, I don't know, he just seems to have a lot of money, whatever. He just, but it's like him and his like four daughters. And they're only there on some weekends and it's like crazy. And then my next door neighbors are... They're just like lifers here. They've lived here for like 30 years and they're the nicest people in the world. They watch our dogs when we go away and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone else, they can all, I don't know.
Yeah, well, we have the other, speaking of the dogs, so like we know more dog names than we do people names. So
that's
like we'll
funny.
Like recognize the people and like the dog and our dogs are like sort of friends or whatever. Like, to, like you know,
it's
hang
funny.
Out. Or not like hang out, but like just in passing, they'll kind of be like, saying hello to each other, and we know like the dog's names, and we're like, we don't really remember what the person's name is that owns the dog.
I do remember people's names because of their dogs, but I will remember their names. I won't remember their dog's names.
Yeah. Well, but, it's like sometimes it's like you recognize people like in the context of like their dog. So there's a house, it's like, they're sort of like the, it's like our neighborhood, but it's like two different HOAs. So it's like kind of a separate neighborhood, but it's basically our neighborhood, you know, like the adjacent one.
Do you have I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Do you have the lady who walks around with her dog in the baby carriage? We do. We
do. I'm trying to think. I don't think we do.
I don't talk to one of them because I don't know who she is really. I just see that there's a dog in there. The other one did it because the dog was blind.
Oh,
so it was sweet.
Gotcha. Well,
yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah. There actually is this lady. Yeah. Sorry, I just popped
in.
No,
go
head.
On.
There is this lady in our neighborhood that has this poodle that she puts sunglasses on when she walks it. It's bizarre.
That is cute. No, it's not.
It is kind of cute. Like, it's cute, but, and they're really, like, flashy sunglasses. Like, it's a very, like, nasty dog.
Imagine the conversation she's having with the dog before they walk out the door. Which ones would you like to try? What are you wearing today?
Yeah,
which color do you have on? Well, it is Tuesday. Let's wear the Ray-Bans.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny.
It's Hollywood Day. They have different themes. It's Liberace's birthday. Elton John's.
It's the anniversary. Yeah. It's the anniversary of Prince's death.
Right, exactly. Ooh, today's Monocle Day. That'd be funny. Little cane, little monocle, little poodle. But Kelly, I want to thank you so much for another episode. I thought this was a lot of fun, and we learned a lot about these neighbors. I'm looking forward to getting to know better in future seasons. But we never see them again.
We'll never see them again.
Yeah, I wish we at least got a little bit of a follow-up kind of, you know, they moved out 3 years later or something.
Or like Laura could be like, if I had a remembrance book, I would write how.
Shut
or like
up,
something
Laura.
Happened. Like, did they die? It's Little House. They could have died because a lot of one-timers do. Or like, yeah, did they move anyway?
I don't know.
Did somebody? Or they could have referenced it even like casually in a future episode, because when new people come, they're always like, oh, they took up the old so-and-so's place. So they could be like, oh, they took up the old Coulter place. So then you would infer, like, oh, they moved.
It's like, you know, in 1885, their baby was born and grew up to be Theodore Roosevelt. Something stupid like that.
Yeah.
No, but instead we just have the pregnant lady and his hobbled wife, her hobbled wife, husband. Oh, my, scattered. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.